Good morning. So I gave the devotional at the Golden Age Rally a couple weeks ago, and Dennis told me that I was going to be filling in if Mike needed it, and I didn't realize that was going to be within a month. So I'm sending up here hoping that I've got something that is just as good as that one. So I want to talk this morning. Something we've been going through in class on Sunday mornings is 1 Timothy, and I was reading through, I'm the one that's kind of been leading it for the class, and I was going through, and a verse, as I was reading it, just kind of hit me. I don't know if you guys ever have that happen to you, but sometimes you just get a verse that comes at the right moment, and it's just something that you really need to hear. And that happened to me a few weeks back. So I'm going to kind of talk today about why that hit me the way it did. And the title of the sermon this morning is, What is Your Value? Many of you have probably heard this story, but it kind of fits the thoughts that I have this morning. Before he died, a father gave his son a watch. He told his son it was a very old watch given to him by his grandfather and was about 200 years old. Before he would give it to his son, he asked him to take it to the jewelry store in the city. Tell them that you want to sell it and see what they will give you for it. The son went back. The son went, came back to the father, let him know the jewelry store had offered him $100 because it was old. The father asked him then to try the pawn shop. The son went to the pawn shop, came back to tell his father that the pawn shop only offered him $20 because it had a scratch. The father then said to go to the museum to show them the watch. The son questioned his father, but went to the museum anyway. When he returned from the museum, he told his father that the museum curator had offered him $375,000 for the very rare piece to be shown in their precious antique section. The father told his son that he asked him to go to all these places to find the value of the watch to show that the right place will value you in the right way. Many times, the value given to each of us falls into one of two areas. How wealthy we are, how much money we have, what our status is, or by what others think of us. Are we cool? Do we fit in? Are we in the right crowd? In some cases, the value of your life is measured by what someone is willing to give up for you. To a parent, their child might be worth more than the parent's life. To a stranger, you may not have any value at all. To someone who dislikes you, they may actually be willing to pay to not have you around anymore. In any of these situations, your life is given value. It may be something that you deserve. It may be something that you don't deserve. But you're still given a value. In some situations, a value placed on your life has a term. They call it a ransom. What exactly is ransom? We hear about it through the Bible. We've heard about it. There's movies made about ransom. We hear about it all the time. A few definitions given to this word that are valid for today, for this discussion. So a ransom can be redemption of a prisoner for a price. It can be the sum of a price paid or the sum demanded. It could be a means of deliverance or rescue from punishment for sin. It could also be to redeem from captivity, to redeem from bondage, to redeem from detention by paying a demanded price. So these definitions of ransom show that life has a value of whatever the price demanded is. By these definitions, it comes down to whatever someone is willing to pay for you. Humans portray that as monetary value. Each of us, when we think of what is the value of something, a lot of times we go to what is the monetary value of something. But in some cases, money is not enough. Money will not get you the value of what something else can be. In those cases, human life is seen as the ransom that must be paid. The only thing of high enough value that can pay the ransom. What would hold high enough value to God? What would God be willing to pay? What would be the price demanded of God to redeem humanity? The Bible tells us that we are ransomed with Jesus' blood. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Jake read this a few minutes ago. For you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things like gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without spot or blemish. In today's world, silver and gold equal wealth and increased value to this world. God did not buy us with gold. God did not buy us with silver or any form of earthly wealth. We are told that these are perishable things. They hold no value to God. God doesn't care about earthly things. He doesn't care about silver and gold. None of that was of high enough value to him to purchase us, to buy the ransom, to pay the ransom for each of us. So what was high enough value? Well, God bought us with his only son, not perishable like silver and gold, but non-perishable like God, to become a man. Jesus was in godly form. He became a man. He defeated temptation. He overcame sin. He remained perfect throughout his life here on the earth so that he could die for us, the perfect sacrifice. God paid for each one of us, for each one of you here today, for anybody that is alive today and ever has been. He paid for all of us by allowing his one and only son to be beaten, to be flogged, to be mocked, to be abused, hung on the cross, and to die. He shed every drop of blood that he had, paying the ransom for each one of us. Not only did God pay that price, but Jesus freely gave so that it could be so. This verse, as I was reading through some of the things that, or this comment, as I was reading through some of the things, doing a little studying for this, it hit me. And it says, Jesus was valued as worthy of death so that we may be valued as worthy of eternal life. So a God turned into a man was valued as worthy of death so that each of us could be valued as worthy of eternal life. So we now know what God paid. We now know what was the demanded price for each of us to have eternal life, to have that hope of heaven. So to find your value, we must find the value Christ had and what he was willing to pay for our sins. In Philippians 2, 5 through 8, it says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, it says, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time." In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, speaking directly about the value of Jesus, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation.'" So, thinking about these verses, what is Christ's value? What was the value placed upon Christ that he held high enough value to purchase each of us? His value is priceless. It's non-perishable. It is eternal. Jesus freely paid what is considered the ultimate price of man to secure your value. Your value is in Christ, and it's priceless. It's non-perishable, and it is eternal. You are more valuable than silver and gold, than all the money in the world. You are valuable enough that Jesus, though he was in the form of a God, would become a man, become a servant, and be willing to die for you. So a lot of times we think that the value that we have is not great. That we kind of have a tendency to look down on ourselves and say, I don't have that value. Or let others give us a value, whether that's true or not. And so if you're questioning, am I worthy of the sacrifice that Jesus made, of the ransom that was paid for you? Well, Paul gives us an example of this. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, it's in verses 12 through 20, but I'm going to read just a portion of this. Starting at verse 12, it says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So, taken from these verses, we hear Paul talking about himself. We all know the history of Paul. He abused Christians. He killed Christians. He did everything that he could to stop Christianity from spreading, from putting to death Christianity, the movement after Christ's death. We know this. He considers himself the worst of sinners, that the things that he did were unforgivable. He had done murder, abuse, blasphemy, persecutor of God's people, calling himself the foremost of sinners. The verse 15 says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, which I am the foremost. Paul tells us that he sees himself as having been one of the worst sinners that you could be, but that God's mercy still applied to him. That his value, Paul's value, was not diminished because of his sin. It was not diminished because of lack of earthly wealth, by lack of what other people thought of him. None of that diminished Paul's value. Paul gives this example to show how great your value is to God. That no matter how bad we think that we may be doing, or how bad others may see and think that we're doing, it's still, your value is still high with God. He is still willing to pay that ultimate price, that ransom for you. It shows how great God's love, mercy, and grace is for each of us. In John 3:16, it states, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So today, I want to challenge you. Do not tie your value to earthly treasures. Don't tie it to gold, to silver, to money, to what other people think of you, because that's not the value that matters. The value that matters is God's value on you. As we've kind of looked at today, you see that value. He was willing to give his only son to die for you and give you that value. If you need to tie your value to God, heed his call. If tying yourself to Jesus, to tying yourself to God, is something that you haven't done, I encourage you to do that. Tie yourself to that non-perishable, that eternal, the value that he has placed upon us. You do that by coming forward and being baptized. It doesn't have to be today. It doesn't have to be tomorrow. But the sooner the better, because we're not promised tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds. If you need to tie your value to the Lord, I encourage you to do that today. If you feel like you've lost your value, if you feel like something has happened in your life that has caused you to see decreased value in yourself. God doesn't see that. He's not seeing the decreased value. He's willing to pay the price today that he paid over 2,000 years ago for you. But if you need prayers of the church, if you need to hear from us, if you need prayers to lift you over that hump, to see that value, to finish your walk with Christ, I encourage you to come. So if you have need of any of those today, today, this is the time. We offer this in each service. So if you have that opportunity and you'd like to come forward, I encourage you to do so as we stand and sing the invitation.